Straight down the middle.
This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at ML on WLXG. Ask questions or comments on what you'd like Matthew to talk about on the show. Today's show is sponsored by French Lick Resort, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and by Edwin Watts Golf. Let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Welcome to Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting because I know it's Sunday, but tomorrow is Masters Week. Not that I'm looking ahead or anything. Yeah, we got the Shell Houston Open going on. Yeah. Great. Masters Week. And as one of the great guests on my show today, Emily Kay, who you'll hear from later, says, the Masters is the second major of the year. It's the first men's major, but this weekend and this week has been the ANA Inspiration, which is the first LPGA major of the year. And it's been pretty great if you haven't been watching. We have a really good show today. Here's something that's a little sad, though. Perry French is not here with me. For the first time in, I don't know, Sean, it's been a long time since Perry has not been here. He's been very busy, a lot of business stuff and travel going on. So he'll be back for hopefully for next week. We'll be live next Sunday morning, the Sunday of the Masters. But Perry French, Strix on Golf, Cleveland Golf, not here with me this week. Okay. So what we're going to do is we are going to do something that I very rarely do, and that's a double session with my friend Steve Anderson, who is one of 330 master professionals in the PGA and the only lefty master professional. He's going to join me for a couple of segments today. And as I said, Emily Kay, a great golf writer for SB Nation, will join me a little later on in the show. Let's get rolling. We'll take a quick break and come back with Steve Anderson right here on Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Well, today on Backspin Golf, I'm pretty excited, actually. I very, very, very rarely do double segments on this show. And we've been doing the show for about 4 years now, maybe even five. But I thought I would do it today because I'm humbled to say that one of my really good friends is Steve Anderson. Now, Steve Anderson... Hang on, Steve. Let me get through this, all right?
Okay.
Don't say anything, all right? Okay. He's actually not saying anything. The director of instruction for Hampton Golf, which, by the way, is owned by M.G. Orender, who is the former president of the PGA of America. He teaches at River Hall Country Club, a beautiful club in Fort Myers, Florida. He's a PGA master professional. There's only 330 of them in the PGA. He's one of them. And I think he might be the only lefty. I'll have to ask him about that. He's been teaching for about 37 years and given, about this, Sean, approximately 60,000 lessons. So I'm thinking he's probably pretty good. He worked with one of the iconic golfers of all time, Ken Venturi, from 92 to 96 on Hilton Head Island. He's written 3 best-selling books on golf. He has one of the most popular websites on golf, mirrorimagegolfswing.com, and we'll get into that a little more. It's fantastic. There are weekly tips, and Steve is the guy that makes golf fun. A lot of these tips are comedically done and brilliantly, I might add. I have no idea how he comes up with this stuff. and more important, his favorite movies are The Godfather and Eddie and the Cruisers, one of which I happen to be in. That's not funny, Sean. Steve Anderson joins us for an extended stay on Backspin Golf. Good morning, Luca.
Good morning, my godfather. How are you?
That's right, Sean. That's the way I should be treated by everybody on this show. Not shot or any of that stuff like the Godfather was, but just it's great to have you on, and I'm excited we're going to get some time here to actually delve into some things that I want to get to with you. How are you doing down there in Florida?
I'm great. We are, unlike all of you, we're getting to the end of our season.
Yeah.
And that means our nice 70-degree weather. It was about 90 here yesterday, so good for golf weather, though. Invite all your friends down.
Okay. There are very few places better to play golf than in Florida. I mean, that's for sure. All right, here's where I want to start with you. One of the things that has happened is there have been proposed new rule changes in golf. And they're supposed to start January 2019. And it's because it takes, obviously, a while to implement things that they're going to change. But some of them are pretty interesting, and I wanted to get your thoughts on them and discuss them a little bit. Let's start with, and I should say, and I know you've talked about this, most of these rules are supposed to speed up play. Is that right?
You know, I was at the big annual PGA convention in Orlando. It's every January, and there's about 20,000 golf pros go and all the golf companies. But mm-hmm. One of the seminars is called the Roundtable, and it was hosted by the CEO of the PGA, the president, the vice president, and the secretary, a pretty high company. So they were discussing golf and all that stuff, and always the three things why golf's been down a little bit is, one, it is too hard.
Yeah.
Two, it is too expensive.
Yeah.
And three is it takes too long. So I actually stood up and said, which of those three do you think is the principal reason for the decline? And they said, it takes too long.
Mm-hmm.
So, all these new, there's 33 new proposed rules, and they're all created with that in mind. How can we make people play a little faster? You know, the amateur golfer is not the tour pro playing for millions of dollars a week. So, they don't need to take as much time as the tour pro does.
Well, we all know, I mean, half the time, because we have five great public courses in Lexington here. And that's where I play. My friends and I play all the time. And one of the problems is you get people out there that either haven't been playing very long, they're not very good, or they just don't care, which is a lot of what goes on. Now, me being from New York, I'm not the most patient person in the world. let me put it that way. And you watch guys on the green plumb bobbing and taking forever to hit a putt because they see they're walking all around their putts. And they're 29 handicaps, and you find yourself saying, this isn't the Masters. I mean, that's one thing, and I do believe it is the biggest problem. But let's talk specifically about a couple of these, because I think they're kind of either important or funny. The first one is you're going to be able to move natural objects from a bunker. Loose impediments from a bunker. Now, I guess that'll help speed up play a little bit, but it's kind of curious to me. What do you think about that
one? That's my favorite proposed rule. It never seemed fair to me. Let's say the night before you play, there was a big thunderstorm and wind, and it blew a tree branch down into the bunker.
Okay.
Well, you're out there playing, and then you hit your ball in the bunker, and you walk up, and it's right behind a log.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to move that. And it's like, well, that doesn't seem right. You know,
right.
That's not your fault that there's a tree branch in the sand, or if there was a rock, you know, you're going to swing and hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So up until the rule change happens, if it does, you could always move a natural object, you know, a Coke can or a
right
empty bottle or something, but you were never allowed to move natural objects. So I think that's a pretty good one. Now, why that rule has been there, one of your 29 handicap golf buddies you were talking about, there's always going to be some guy that's going to pick every little single pebble
yeah.
out of the bunker and take the half an hour.
I didn't even think of that. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why the rule's been there, but they just decided, well, more often than not, that's not going to happen. But
right. Just clear a little area.
I think that's a great one. You can move a twig or a leaf or a branch or
right.
a rock or something out of your way with no penalty.
Okay. Now, here's the next one, and it says supposedly this is going to save a lot of time, and it will, because people don't know correctly in a foursome how to the order of putting and who's taking the flag out and all that stuff. You
yeah.
can now leave the flag stick in the hole when putting. Now, you are a master professional, and that's a big emphasis. Now, is it? You leave the flag in on a putt. Let's say you got a 10-footer and you walk up to it and other guys are looking around for their balls or whatever. And does it make sense to leave the flag in? What if you hit the flag and it's going to kick the ball out of the hole?
Yeah, well, one of my tips on my website, I just discussed this. I think a better player, and certainly a tour pro, they will still remove the pin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put the flag in there, it makes the hole half as big.
Right.
But a good golfer and a tour pro doesn't, you know, he's not going to hit a 10-foot putt 10 feet too hard and bang into the flag. The higher handicapper, if he has a 20-foot putt and he hits it what would usually have gone 10 feet by, well, it might just bang into the flag and go in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's going to help the amateur certainly more than the pro. But, again, people don't think. Let's say me and you and two of our buddies are playing and we all hit our shots and they're all kind of on the front of the green. Well, if the flag sticks 75 feet in the back of the green, one of you has to walk all the way there.
Right.
Then the pin,
yep.
and then he walks back, and then the next guy walks. So you know, Matthew, it might only be 45 seconds per green, but you multiply that times 18 holes. You
yeah,
know,
it's talking, 20 minutes. I mean,
yeah, 10, so. 20 minutes. And you do that with, you know, 40 groups of golfers that play every day. Holy
right.
cow. That's hours.
Yeah. No, it's that's a really great one. There are a couple in here that I think don't really apply to amateurs, like 3 minutes, not 5 minutes when searching for a ball.
Right.
I mean, no, but if you're going to look for the ball, there are guys out there that'll look for 8 minutes. They're
yeah.
not going to care about a rule. So there's that one. But, and repairing spike marks on the green, which I've never understood you couldn't do anyway. You're allowed now to tap down spike marks, which I think, don't tell anybody, but I think most of us do that right now.
Yeah. Well, again, that rule has been there because there's going to be that one guy in the group that's going to spend 15 minutes tapping down everything.
Right, yeah.
And but, you know, I don't think it's fair. You hit a perfect shot up, you're 5 feet from the hole, and you have no chance of making it because there's a big thing in front of you.
Yep. Yeah.
And then, of course, that is almost not a problem anymore because there's not metal golf spikes anymore that tear up the greens to begin with.
Yeah. That's
so,
true,
you
too.
Know, why not?
Yeah. That's a good thing for this segment. Why not? All right. We're going to take a quick break. Man, this time goes fast when I'm talking to you. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and spend some more time with my favorite PGA master professional. One of my favorite guys outside of golf, Steve Anderson. Right here on Backspin Golf.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Welcome back. Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 from the Square Country Club. as we like to call it, right here on Main Street. And continuing with our... Oh, now, look, I'm pretty sure, are you the only lefty master pro?
As far as I know, yes.
I mean, that just that distinction is unbelievable. There's three... Now, really, there's about 330 master professionals in the PGA, and you are the only left-handed one. That's awesome.
It used to be a curse being lefty, but now, you know, look at Mike Weir and Phil and Bubba, and now it's kind of cool to be lefty.
Yeah, it is. It just, being lefty means you're just a little weird. That's all.
Well, I've heard all the most intelligent people in the world are, you know, Einstein and all them are left-handed, so.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Here's something I want to get to you. Get to with you. It's just starting to get to the point where we're going to be able to play golf all the time as opposed to once every 4 weeks when it gets to be 50. What advice for guys that are and women that are starting out getting back into playing as the spring is here? What are a couple of things you think would be good to do?
Well, you know, that week or so before you want to play that first round and go out and hit that range and see what the golf swing's all about, you know, it might still be there from the end of last season, or you might have lost it in the last 3-4 months you haven't played. So see what needs a little attention and get with your PGA Pro at your golf course and, you know, start the season on a positive note. I've always said there's no reason to go hit balls every day if you're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
So, you know, learning that swing is not really that hard of a series of movements. It's just, I think what's hard is people tend to do it the wrong way and all that stuff. And I think a great idea, you know, start out a few rounds, maybe just playing 9 holes because, you know, 18 holes, as you know, Matthew, that takes a lot out of you and tired. And then the back nine, your swing starts to fall apart because, you know, you haven't spent 3-4 hours on a golf course in months. So I always think that's a great idea. Go out and do a 2 or 3 9-hole rounds and build up, you know, just like going to the gym. You know, start out slow and build up big, and there you go.
That's a really good tip, I think. That's what we're going to do, peeps. I'm going to get everybody playing 9 holes till we can really crank it up here.
Right.
We have, of course, this week coming up is Masters Week, and everybody is looking forward in great anticipation, as we always do every year, to the Masters, because it's kind of the official start of the golf season. I know we've had tournaments, but and you were, I'm going to say this for you, you were blessed to work with Arnold Palmer in your career, and this will be the first Masters without Arnie there. We did a whole show last week, Sean, or the week before last week, I guess, about Arnie, and it's going to be very sad that he's not there. Memories of Arnie and the Masters.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's the face of golf, and he put that tournament on the map. And, of course, has there ever been a greater ambassador to the game and a more classy guy in the world? I remember when I first worked, 1986, right next to Bay Hill is the sort of private version called Isleworth. And, you know, Tiger Woods used to live there, and Shaquille O'Neal used to live there. I mean, these houses look like castles, you know.
Yeah.
And, I was just a young assistant pro and been there, maybe a week. I hadn't met him yet. And then he comes walking over and just, you know, a crease in his pants and his shoes are so shiny you could see yourself. And he's just Mr. Perfect, you know. And you're standing there yourself thinking, God, I hope my shoes are shined or he's going to send me home. But as you know, I mean, end of a tournament that he would play, you know, he'd sit there, 2 hours and sign every single kid's autograph and sign it so you could read it. You know, he always made a big point of, you know, Arnold Palmer. He didn't just scribble something and walk away. So, yeah, very, very... sad. I'm sure they're going to have some incredible tribute to him the first day.
Yeah, they will. And by the way, since you're the only lefty master professional, lefties do very well at Augusta. Bubba's won twice. Phil, obviously. Why is it just the way the holes are set up?
Well, yeah, we had, you know, most good golfers, tour pros, draw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So for us lefties, that's a little bit from left to right. And we were looking the other year, more than half of the dog legs at Augusta are from left to right.
Perfect.
So if you're a right-hander, that's a little fade shot, little slice shot, and you overdo and goes in the trees. But if you're a good left-handed golfer and you draw the ball, you just get up and cream it right around the corner. So, of course, you know, tour pros can hit any shot they want, but their natural shot, as is mine, is from left to right, being left-handed. So that's, I think that is an advantage.
Now, Dustin Johnson, DJ, he's won three in a row. He's pretty good. Number one in the world now, deservedly so. The heavy favorite, if there is such a thing, going into this week at Augusta. I mean, I know it's golf and anything can happen, but you'd have to think he's got a pretty good chance to get a green jacket.
If I had to make a wager with my own money, yeah.
as opposed to with my money, you mean?
With your money might be a little different.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they've always said you need to have two things to win the Masters. You have to be long, and you have to be a great putter.
Yep.
And he is, you know, he had a drive the other day, like 440 or something. It's like, good grief, you know.
I know.
That's very weird golf swing. He couldn't change and have a textbook swing,
or right.
Could Bubba Watson, but their swing works for them, but they also hit golf balls about 3-4 hours a day, don't they?
Yeah, that's, you know, my brother Mitchie, who is how I met you through my brother Mitchie, he always said that to me about practice when I would say, you know, I shot 84 today. It could have been a 77 if I could chip. And he always says to me, wait a second, when was the last time you took a bucket of balls and went and chipped? And I'm like, I don't know, a year ago, maybe. He said, then shut up. I don't want to hear it. He'll say.
Well, it's funny. When I'm at my golf course giving lessons, there's 20 guys up on the range hitting their driver.
Yeah.
And me and my student are the only ones over on the short game green doing chipping or something. And I say, hey, guys, if you want to score better, maybe come over here for a while.
Yeah, I mean,
and what do they say, 75% of your total score is short game.
Chips,
pitch, bunkers, putts. 75% of your score is less than 100 yards. So where should you practice 75% of the time?
Well, and but we're not smart. Hello.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, I said to your brother once, I said, okay, I magically snap my fingers and you're going to hit every drive 300 yards down the middle.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
But it's not going to make your score go down. If you don't hit the green on your second, you pull up your chip and you three putt.
Well, yep. Yeah.
So,
I should say, by the way, to everybody listening, we are going to carry the Masters right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 beginning Thursday at 2 o'clock. I'll be getting a lot of work done. A lot of work done. Right, Sean? Yeah. The end of this week should be fun for me. Oh, I hope. Do you think our boss is listening? Probably. He listens every week. Yes, I know. Okay. Now, before I let you get out of here, your website, and I, to say that I look forward to Facebook, I mean, I follow you on Facebook and you post stuff. I so look forward to everything you do because they're so funny, but they're so, the tips are so great and the drills are so great. But you always come up with fun ways to introduce what you're going to talk about. And mirrorimagegolfswing.com has been around for about 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Very soon, I have heard, as a matter of fact, I think we're days away from a really exciting, it's kind of a new concept of online golf instruction.
Yeah.
And I will be happy as soon as you give me the go-ahead. I will tell everybody on social media and on my show about it. Just briefly, we got a couple of minutes. Tell me kind of, give me an idea of the new website.
Yeah, well, we'll give you the exclusive one. It's ready and launched. And Oh, just kind of quick. When we're up and going, our people can join the site, and there's approximately 200 swing videos up there. They're all little 2-, 3-, 4-minute ones.
And
every
they're
part
fantastic.
Of the game, how to chip, how to putt, chopping your slice, drinking. Every week, a member will get a new video, so they get 52 a year.
Mm-hmm.
My three books on golf, they are included in that membership.
Wow.
And then I think one of the big ones is anyone who's a member can have the ability to blog me. You could go out and have a lousy round of golf with a slice. If you're a member, you can just get on there when you get home. Hey, Steve, any ideas on how to stop my slice? And I absolutely, every single day, personally sit down and answer everybody.
Wow.
So, kind of like having your own pro in your back pocket, you know?
I don't know how you do that. I really don't. You have given more. I know the game of golf has given you a lot, but you've given back a million times over, and I can't thank you enough for taking a chunk of your day today to be with me. And I have a bucket list that has not really that many things because I've gotten to do so much in my life, but one of them is to come spend a few days with you in Florida, just sitting, talking about The Godfather, you teaching me how to be a plus three, you know, things like that. That's on my bucket list.
I would look forward to that with bells and whistles. And okay. Maybe, you know, in between our lessons, we can sit down and watch the full Eddie and the Cruisers once again.
Yeah, we could do that. And that the 7-hour...
every single week to help people.
Well, you're the greatest, man. I love you, and thanks for joining us, and we'll be talking to you soon.
We'll do it, Matthew. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
As I always say, almost every week, I'm very blessed with the people that I've met, mostly through Twitter in the golf world, and people that I greatly respect and enjoy following on Twitter. And Emily Kay is certainly one of those. She's a fantastic golf writer for SB Nation. And by the way, hi, Emily. Let me say hi first.
Hey, Matthew.
The show that I do during the week, Matthew and Mikey, every afternoon, SB Nation is absolutely our go-to site. We have guests from all sports that are with SB Nation, and it's fantastic. It's
That's
just
great.
Yep. And golf is certainly no exception with all the reading that I do. And I really so enjoy reading your stuff. Let's talk about, as you put it, I was looking at your tweets the other day, and it made me smile because everybody's talking about the first major of the year.
Drive me nuts.
Being the Masters. And you put on Twitter, it's not. It's the second major of the year because this week is what used to be known as the Dinosaur, the A&A Inspiration, is the first major of the year.
Yeah. And by the way, it will always be the Dinosaur to those of us of a certain age.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the funny thing is there are certain tournaments, and this may be the biggest example of it, where you first see it. I remember a couple of weeks ago, I saw something about this tournament, and I didn't even remember it was the Dinosaur. The A&A Inspiration, and then all of a sudden you realize it's the Dinosaur and it's a major.
Don't you think it would have been a good idea if they had kept the Dinosaur name in there somewhere?
Yeah, and I'm not really sure why they didn't.
I'm sure it's all about the advertising and the sponsors and all like that.
Yeah, it always comes back to the money, but what would the harm be? It's not like Dinosaur has a company that's a rival company of A&A.
Right.
I mean, they could have... They should say the A&A Inspiration Dinosaur. I mean,
you'd think so. I mean, it's as you said, people look at it and they think, "What the heck is that?"
Yeah,
and they don't really relate it to the first major of the year, which it really is, and still played on the Dinosaur tournament course. And you know, as I said, it'll always be the Dino. to many of us.
You know, yesterday you put on Twitter, I'm looking at it now, this absolutely fantastic picture of her from 1975.
Yeah.
Such a great picture. And
well, you know, that people talk about what a friend to golf your president is.
Yeah.
But I'd have to go back to Dinah Shore. I mean, a friend to women's golf. I mean, she was really the matriarch of this tournament and always will be. And, you know, you can't do better than Dinah Shore.
No, and the maybe our favorite part of this, I mean, obviously it's a major and it's a great test, but our favorite part is the winners jumping in the water afterwards, and that's even Dinah. I mean, you know, she would get right in there, and I have memories of her doing that. So,
yeah.
Now this is a pretty good tournament, and one of the things that's going on that I want you to talk about for a minute is Lydia Ko, who has been number one for a long time in the world.
What
and
is it? 75 straight weeks?
I think so. And and she possibly could lose that ranking this week. What's going on with her?
Well, she's made a lot of changes. She has a new caddy, a new coach, new equipment.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, that's it. You know, after an incredible year, well, I mean, you know, everybody wondered why Tiger would change a swing that, you know, won the Masters by 12 strokes. I mean, they're always looking for the new and the better and the getting better and everything. I don't know how this does that for her, and I'm sure it's quite a transition, but she's doing okay through five holes today. Yesterday. They suspended it because of high winds, but she's not the player, seeming to be the player that she was last year, but let's give her time. I mean, her outlook on things is just so amazing that you never know what she's going to do.
And we forget, what is she, like nine?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think she's 19.
Oh, that's a joke.
Which, by the way, is 5 years older than the young woman that Michelle Wee played with yesterday.
Now, I watched her yesterday.
Oh, my God.
When I turned it on, the first thing that I saw was Michelle Wee.
Yeah.
And we all love watching Michelle play.
Oh, yeah.
And,
And
then she was the only one in the shot. And then she hit her shot. And then they switched the camera over to this toddler who was out playing in a major with Michelle Wee. She's about 3 feet tall. She's I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I know. It's really something. I mean, it's like Mutt and Jeff kind of out there. But wow, it was fun to watch, wasn't it? I mean, watch her swing that club.
I know. And you know, just think about when she's Lydia Ko's age, it'll be 5 years from now when she's how old Lydia Ko is.
Oh, now. I know. And she actually played in this, 3 years ago at 11?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That was the first time we heard about her. This is shaping up to be in women's golf another really terrific year, though, because there are so many great young players out mixed in with some veterans who can still play really well.
Yeah, and I mean, who doesn't want to see Michelle Wee play well? I mean, it's hard to imagine that she's 27 or something like that?
Yeah.
She's been in our consciousness since she was 10, and she's been out there seemingly forever, and she's still only in her 20s.
You know,
and she's definitely having a resurgence. I mean, if she were to win, that would be just unbelievable.
It would be. It would be fantastic. And
they
actually did a very interesting thing. They put a split screen up of her swing from 2004 and the swing she's using now. And the difference, and a lot of this has to do with injury with her.
Yeah.
But her, in 2004, which is 13 years ago, she was more upright. It was much freer. Now she's kind of hunched over again and all that. But it was really interesting, and it really made you think how long she's been, you know, in our minds in terms of golf.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, since she's been 10, of course, Tiger's been with us since he was 2, so.
Yeah.
I mean, she's already an old lady at 10, I guess, but these days.
Oh, boy. All right, now, here in Lexington, its season is starting up, and I would say that you're in Massachusetts. I would say that for you, but As I'm speaking to you, it's snowing there.
Yeah, yes, it is.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm not happy about it.
Well, you need to get the SB Nation people. You should be out covering the ANA.
Oh, I could be. I actually am recovering from Tiger Woods' microdiscectomy.
Oh,
myself.
Emily.
And it's been almost five months, and I'm still walking with a cane. So,
oh,
yeah.
Boy.
When he was talking about his glutes not activating and everyone made fun of that,
yeah,
I totally get it. There's nothing I've ever dealt with like this nerve damage. And as he said so many times, you can't rush it. I mean, I'm working real hard at PT and everything, but it's not about me. But it's really, really hard to come back from. So I hope to get out to some tournaments, but it's going to be a while.
Okay. Well,
yeah, it sucks.
it does kind of suck. So maybe it's not that bad that it's snowing.
Well, exactly. I've been to the driving range, and it hasn't gone so well. So I could use a little bit more spring training before the season starts.
Okay. Real quick, before I let you go, we've been talking on today's show with Steve Anderson, my other guest, about the rule changes that are being proposed. What are your thoughts on – I personally – like that we can move loose impediments, we'll be able to in the bunkers. And I know what I wanted to ask you. It just hit me. Dottie Pepper, who is a good friend of mine and a good friend, I'm sure you know Dottie pretty well too, has been in kind of a war of words about all these proposed rule changes, but the one that all of us want to see is being able to remove a ball from a divot in a fairway.
Yeah, not going to happen.
I know, but it seems, and Dottie is not in favor of that, and she makes a very valid point. She's like my grandfather.
I'm not sure she would appreciate that.
Yeah, no, but she would have when I explained it. My grandfather, when I was in college, my grandfather knew nothing really, I was studying politics and international politics. And I would come sit with him and I would have all these arguments about something. And he was totally wrong in his argument, but he was so good at arguing that I always left there believing him. And that's when I read this. Do you see how I'm getting there? When I read this stuff about Dottie with moving a ball from a divot, it makes so much sense what she's saying. And yet, when I get to the end of it, I'm like, okay, she's right, but I still want to move my ball from the divot.
I know. I mean, yeah, those kinds of things, and moving it out of a footprint in the sand.
Yeah,
that should be. I mean, that's just like crazy because somebody comes in there, and who knows
right.
if that person, you know, is doing it as a competitive disadvantage to the people coming behind.
Right. Yeah.
And I would say behind him because they're usually very large male footprints.
That's pretty funny. All right. Well, feel better. I hope your recovery.
We never even talked about Tiger.
Oh, we didn't. Yeah, you're right. All right, we got a minute. Let's talk for a minute about. I'll tell you one thing that's very upsetting to me is in all the golf coverage on NBC I watched yesterday, and they start their show with NBC Golf, the Golf Channel, and they show pictures of the golfers, and it's Dustin, and it's Jordan, and Rory, and Jason, and there's no Tiger, and it broke my heart yesterday.
Yeah, it kind of did that. That happened when the PGA Tour took PGAtour.com took him off the front page of the players page.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart too. And I honestly, I've been a Tiger fan forever. I don't want to see him play next week. I just don't.
Yeah. It's harder to watch him try to play than missing him. I know.
It really is. And if he plays, you know, he's going to suck the oxygen from everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, even if he doesn't play. But
right. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope your recovery goes well. And I'll check back in with you during the season. And you're just
Terrific.
The best, Emily.
Thanks, Matthew. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye. That'll do it for another edition of Backspin Golf here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. As always, I want to thank Steve Anderson for the extended stay with us today, my PGA Master professional buddy, and Emily Kay from up there in Massachusetts, who's a writer for SB Nation and is just terrific. And of course, our partners, French Lick. I'm getting ready to go up there. About 3 weeks, I'll be up there. Two great golf courses, 51,000 square foot casino, incredible hospitality, French Lick Resort. Edwin Watts Golf. I was over there this week. They got a ton of great stuff going on. Go visit them, whatever you need. It's Edwin Watts Golf. And Lexington Parks and Rec, where a little later today, I will be at Lakeside today. The five great golf courses that we have. Don't forget driving ranges at Lakeside and Kearney Hill. All right, before I get out of here, this is kind of a sad day for me because today would have been Seve Ballesteros' 60th birthday. My idol, one of my idols, not just in golf, but in life. His style, his grace, everything about him made him one of my idols. My email address contains his first name. So happy 60th, Seve. You're missed tremendously. And here we go. Coming up tomorrow, it's Masters Week. Thanks for listening. It's Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. And stay tuned. Dan and Mary Jo coming up next. And they are great.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.